Libya is at a crossroads. United Nations sanctions imposed for its sponsorship of terror attacks on two Western jetliners could be lifted in a matter of days. The Tripoli government has accepted responsibility for the bombings and agreed to pay compensation. But while Libya's mercurial leader, Muammar Gaddafi, is hoping to regain acceptance by the international community, he faces both continuing international suspicion and new internal challenges. NPR's Nick Spicer went to Tripoli this week for the 34th anniversary of the military coup that brought Gaddafi to power, and he filed this report.
Jets in formation hurtle over Tripoli's green square as joyous women soldiers ululate. This year's celebration of the anniversary of the 1969 revolution, which brought Muammar Gaddafi to power, was devoted to women. And the crowd at these official celebrations was almost exclusively female. Women cadets even performed mock taekwondo fights for visiting dignitaries. The anniversary celebrations coincided with news that Libya is ready to compensate families of people killed in two separate airplane bombings in the 1980s, the Lockerbie airplane crash and the mid-air explosion of a French jet over Niger. As part of its $2.7 billion settlement with Lockerbie families, the Libyan state accepted responsibility for the actions of its officials. But Gaddafi denied any responsibility when addressing his own people on the eve of the anniversary. What we are paying is not compensation, but for the removal of sanctions, he said. Gaddafi suggested the money being paid was irrelevant, even though it amounts to a fifth of the national budget. He added that the Libyan people had outfoxed nuclear powers at the United Nations by coming to an agreement that would reintegrate their country into the international community after 11 years of isolation. Another speech in praise of the man Libyans call brother leader. Gaddafi maintains he is not in power, but the people are, through the thousands of people's committees he has established. But his views clearly hold sway over the minds, or at least the speech, of ordinary Libyans. The few women at the anniversary celebrations who felt comfortable enough to speak to reporters echoed Gaddafi's comments on the airplane bombings and the end of sanctions.
Of course, without sanctions, a lot of things will be different, and a lot of our lives maybe will be changed for more development. We can learn more, we can go to the United States to learn there. I'm sorry, because I'm not allowed to talk in politics.
Most of the world's countries have been trading with Libya since 1999. That's when the country agreed to the trial of two of its intelligence operatives for the Lockerbie bombing. The one big exception is the United States. U.S. firms are still barred from trading with Libya under separate American sanctions. So the lifting of U.N. sanctions is more important symbolically than economically. But Gaddafi hopes it will help him perform an international makeover while he tries to rebuild the country internally, most of all by embracing market economics. The Tripoli Bazaar, once again vibrant, with vendors hawking everything from fresh fruit to imported radios to Gaddafi wristwatches. Much of it was shut down as part of an experiment in Gaddafi's homegrown post-socialist, post-capitalist economics, which he calls the Third Universal Theory. But for most ordinary Libyans, it amounts to the government using giant oil revenues to create jobs and run the economy. The new reformist prime minister, Shukri Mohamed Ghanem, wants to change all that.
We want to improve the standard of living of the people. If we find that our practice with the public sector did not achieve that aim, or we can do better through private sector, why not?
Shukri also wants Libya to join the World Trade Organization, UNESCO, and other international bodies, all projects which could run into American opposition. Shukri acknowledges mending international fences will take time and patience.
Well, it is not a matter of satisfying the Americans or not, but we are in a way happy that you have 100 knots. You cannot open the whole knots in one time. We are starting one by one, one by one.
There is more than the American nut to open. Over the years, Gaddafi has confused, alienated, and angered many other national capitals where his attempts to change his image are now being closely watched. In the past, Gaddafi has provided millions of dollars to terrorists, guerrillas, and rebels from Ireland to Japan to French Polynesia, and he has had outsized ambitions for his country. In the years following his takeover, Gaddafi tried to don the pan-Arab mantle of the late Egyptian President Gamal Abdel Nasser, but he was repeatedly rebuffed by his Arab peers. Gaddafi then turned his sights southwards. A women's brigade bearing the flags of African nations. Gaddafi now wants Libya to take a lead role in the fledgling African Union. He has meddled in African conflicts and supported bloody warlords such as Charles Taylor, recently ousted from power in Liberia. The man trying hardest to get the world to forget all that is Gaddafi's son, Saif al-Islam. It was Saif's well-endowed charity foundation, for instance, which paid out the Lockerbie settlement. Many see Saif as a possible successor to the 60-year-old colonel. But if Saif does become the next brother leader, he will still face big domestic challenges. In this playground on the Mediterranean, young couples push their children on swings late into the night, when it is coolest. The average age in Libya is 22. The birth rate is high, and unemployment estimated at 30%. Older Libyans may be grateful to Gaddafi for pulling the country out of economic backwardness and for building schools and roads. But young people such as these take all that for granted and are just worried about jobs. They whisper that brother leader's foreign adventures and his costly settlements are a price they should no longer be asked to pay. Nick Spicer, NPR News, Tripoli.